relations thing, and I don't do this almost ever, but I'm going to get firmly upon a hobby horse and ride it, maybe possibly, ride it to death. We'll see how this goes, but I'm going to talk about something that's kind of been on my mind, and of course, I haven't mastered this yet. So I've decided that if I were to speak about only things that I have mastered, well, there's one thing, and I'll show you that later, that I have mastered. And I'm probably better than the rest of you at it. Just saying. In fact, I'm probably in the top 1%, maybe the top 1/100th of a percent of the world in this particular skill. So I'm not showing off or anything here. I'm just saying. That's all. You'll see. You'll see. You'll be impressed, and you'll go, Dan, I had no idea how amazing you were. I think I can stop talking about that. But let's read the scripture. Let's pray. Let's bring the drama team up, and then I'll get on my hobby horse, and I'll amaze you too. I will amaze you. It's gonna happen. This is from 1 John chapter 4. You'll see where I'm going right away. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and that he lives in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in God, lives in love, lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have a confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Let's pray. Lord, teach us about love. Fill us with your love. Teach us to love. In Jesus' name. Drama team.
So I will demonstrate my skill for you to see, for the world to see, once and for all. It's tying shoes.
One second.
You may have to look closely. I didn't practice either. All right? You ready? Anybody over here want to see that? Here, I'll show you.
Wow.
Really, really, really good. Can anybody do that? Ready? Go. Just like that. All right, so there it is. I decided that I'm only going to start talking about things that I've mastered, and so we're done here. We're done here. Oh, I'm going to need my notes. we will just waltz right over here. It's true that if I was going to talk about only things that I've mastered, we wouldn't have anything. And I want you to know, first of all, it's pretty obvious that I have truly not mastered love. And I don't think any of us have. And yet, John, speaking under inspiration, tells us that we need to love, because God is love. And especially we need to love our brother and sister. My shoe's untied. How did that happen? Well, the chickens have come home to roost, haven't they? Man, our society, our world, talks about love a lot. And we have a lot of confused ideas about what love is. I was looking and thinking about some song lyrics, and I'd like to put those up just one at a time, if we can do that. You know, this is if you name this band, you get 5 points. In my life, there's been heartache. And,
Foreigner,
not Journey. Whoever said Journey, that's minus 5. There's been heartache and pain. I don't know if I can face it again. Can't stop now. I've traveled so far to change this lonely life. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. I want to feel what love is. I know you can show me. Okay? Next one. Love hurts. Love scars. Love wounds and mars. Any heart not tough or strong enough to take a lot of pain. Take a lot of pain. Love is like a cloud. It holds a lot of rain. Love hurts. Well, that's depressing. And then one of my favorites. You love her, but she loves him. And he loves somebody else. You just can't win. And so it goes till the day you die. This thing called love, it's going to make you cry. I've had the blues, the reds, and the pinks. One thing for sure, love stinks. Yeah, yeah, love stinks. And then it's kind of profound here. Can anybody love anyone so much that they will never fear? Anybody know who this is by? 5 points. Never worry, never be sad. The answer is they cannot love this much. Nobody can. This is why I don't mind you doubting. What is love anyway? Does anybody love anyway? What is love anyway? Does anybody love anybody?
This is Howard Jones.
This is Howard Jones. Did you just Google that?
Huh?
You didn't Google it.
I didn't know.
Okay, all right. You 80s boy, you. Pretty good. Raceland knew what that was. I think that song plagues Raceland. Love is what we need most, and yet we surely have not mastered it. I think we were created to be loved. I think that is the one thing that we all need desperately. And we do crazy things to find it. We end up with some strange substitute. Don't you agree? I mean, those things can be dysfunctional relationships. We can go so far in a hobby. We can get involved in things that we never thought we'd get involved in, just looking for love because we need it so desperately. Our hearts starve. They thirst for love. And yet, we're not any good at it. We all have a bunch of leaky buckets. Our buckets are leaky. They may be leaky through things that we've done. They may be leaky because of things that have happened to us. We're not able to even retain love. We're not even able to recognize love when it comes to us. We don't even know what love is. I want you to show me. I want to feel what love is. Okay. Love is what we need most, but we have leaky buckets. And some of us, our buckets are so leaky, we can't even hold any water in it. We're like sieves. We don't understand what love is. And, you know, to be honest, I don't pretend to tell you exactly what love is today or solve that problem for you. It can't happen that way. But I can hopefully point us down the right road through Scripture. So many of us have wounds. We have shortages in our lives. It wasn't until quite a bit later in my life, probably my 30s or 40s, where I realized that I have this deficit. It's called affection deficit disorder. You know, where it's like, I just need to be loved. I can never get enough of it. I need it. And then I realized that's kind of sick. You know, there's something really wrong with me. And then I realized that really doesn't work. If you go around like that, constantly needing that, you're really a needy person. And all these things that you do, all these behaviors that I do, I realized were because I just wanted to be loved and accepted. Want to know what some of those behaviors are? Don't nod like that, Kathy. For me, it was always trying to be witty. Trying to be the smart Bible donkey. Right? Always. It was trying to be perceived as an intelligent person. That way I would be valued. That was my approach. And so I think some of you can relate to that. Others do it through other various ways. Some of us as I look back, I realized, okay, there were things in my past, decisions that I'd made, but also things that had happened to me that made me kind of operate under that affection deficit disorder, right? And that was partially due to a fact that I had a father who just didn't know how to show love. And in recent years, as I've been thinking about that, I've realized that, wow, fathers have a lot of responsibility. I looked at my dad and said, well, I don't know if he could have done it. I don't know if he could have been the father I needed him to be. And I'm just guessing here that that's probably true of most of us here. That we had a father who didn't accurately reflect our heavenly father. Yeah? Maybe? Yeah, thank you for that. I see that hand, brother. And that problem has really struck me as being a huge issue. As I look around at our church, I see so many of our kids, and I realize, man, you know, some of them don't even have a father around at all. And I realize that they need the love of a heavenly father, that even as a father, I can't be the father to Grant that I want to be. I'm working on it. And that's because I don't know what love is. Why don't you show me? The role of the earthly father, it really does, as we have earthly fathers that don't measure up, it distorts our image of the heavenly father, and that distorts our image of love. So we don't understand what love is, we don't know how to receive it, and we don't know how to give it. And I think most of our fathers, many of our fathers, do the best that they can. Many of them were wounded too. And that's why this kind of thing goes on. Because we carry those wounds on to other people. It happens. And we search for it. We search for it. Well, the scripture here in John says, God is love. Those may be, they just may be, the three most important words ever written. God is love. That is deep. What does that mean? Well, here's what I think it means. I think it means that God is the source of love. I think it means that anything that is true, actual love, comes from God. I think that in order to understand love, we have to know God. And I think that as we grow in understanding God, we understand love, we're able to receive it, we're able to give it better. I think that's the point here. So God is love. He's the source, he's the inventor, he's the father of love. What is love? We really don't know, but we're learning. We know that it is in God. We want it desperately, but we don't know what it is. So we had Raceland over at our house a couple weeks ago, and he was spending the night, and I asked permission to say this, and he probably left because it's somewhat embarrassing. And he said, and I want you guys to really take this to heart. He said to me, I know that the people of City's Edge really love me. I know they really care about me, and I don't know why. And so I sat and I thought about it for a while, and I said, I don't know why either. I really don't know. And he goes, well, that's kind of weird. And I said, yeah, it is. It is kind of, I think it's a God thing. Because none of us really deserves God's love, right? And if we're sitting there thinking about how we're going to earn it or deserve it or what we can do to please him so that God will love us, we're completely on the wrong track because that is not God. That is not love. Love is not earned. Love is not deserved. I mean, you can do things to push people away for sure. And, you know, I'm not saying that Rayson doesn't have some really nice qualities. He does. But when you think about the fact that out of nowhere, we've learned to love Rayson, I think that's God. I thought about it some more, and I said, that's a mystery. And I think it's God. I think that is God. What you're seeing is God in the church. What you're experiencing is God in the church. And that's really cool. And I hear an amen. Amen. All right, thank you. I just want to know if you're still here. It's a mystery. It's a God thing. So God is love. And how do we understand? How do we begin to understand? Not only to receive and absorb that love, but also to show it. I think it starts with understanding the unconditional, undeserved love of God. Because we need that. We need a love that we don't deserve. We need a love that we don't earn. We need it. Isn't that weird? That we actually are created in that manner, that we need something that we can't earn or deserve. But that's where God comes in. So we have this longing deep in our hearts for God. And God showed his love to us. God demonstrated his love to us. And kind of that's what the whole Christmas season is really about. It's about God's demonstration of love to us, how much he identifies with us and how much he cares for us. And I ask Beth to share a few words about that if you're willing to do that. Is that enough of a lead in for you? Or here, do you want this?
Sure.
It's all over. Put it on your ear.
Is it on my ear? So I get to talk about the incarnation. Y'all know what that means? It's my, has to be one of the things that I am most passionate about. So if we understand, you know, as Dan has been saying, those three powerful words, that God is love, kind of picture it like this. Picture pre-Jesus day, where God is like this energy, this power, this force. You know, the energy, the power, the force that created the world. And that energy, power, and force is love. So in a sense, love created the world. I think so, at least. And he's too big to understand. It's too big for us to get. But he wants to be understood. God wants to be understood, and he wants to be known. And when he created us, he wants to connect with us. So how is he, great God, creator, power, love, going to be known? The way he decided to do that so that we really, really get it is he put all that love, the fullness of his godness, in Jesus. That's the incarnation. So the fullness of love is in Jesus. You see, God wants to be known. If God is love, that means love wants to be known. God wants to be accessible. Love, he wants love to be accessible to us. God wants us to get it in our minds as a concept. And that's why he gave us Jesus, and he gave us the story so we can understand it in our minds. He wants us to understand it in our hearts. And that thing is, when God enters our heart, when love enters our heart, it can be transforming. You see how I'm kind of interchanging the words God and love? Is that theologically a mess? I don't know. The Bible says God is love. I'm on my own. The other thing is that when you think about God entering our lives, or love entering our lives and flowing through our lives, think about love flowing through our lives. Think about God flowing through our lives. That's the design, because God is love. So the two gifts that he's given us to get it, to really understand who he is, that he is love, is Jesus, and the other one is the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is kind of the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of love in us. That's cool. If you just think about the three words that, you know, God is love, just think about that for like the next 20 years. You know, it's life-changing. See, Jesus is the kind of expression of God's love, where we get to see what love looks like with skin. We get to see what love says. We get to see what love does. And in that, we have the Spirit of God in us so that we can be like Christ, and so that that love flows through us, and then we become the skin of God's love. It really is all about love. We live in a world that's longing for love. Think about that. If we're interchanging the words love and God, think about living in a world that's longing for God. But they don't know that, so they long for love. But if they're longing for love, they're really longing for God. Isn't that interesting? You know, there's a church in the Portland area that is an atheist church. And their whole thing that they worship around, because they can't worship around a deity, they can't worship around God, so they worship around love. And I hear that and I go, you don't even know it, but you want God. Because you really do, in your soul, in your gut, you want God, because God is love in the reality of who He is. It's amazing to me how we've been designed to receive and reflect God. To receive and reflect God's love. And that's the gift. And that's why at Christmas we celebrate the greatest gift, which is Jesus, because Jesus was God in skin. Jesus was love in skin.
Thank you, dear. So I guess the big question is, how do we get it? You know? So how do we acquire? How do we absorb this love? Is there a way to patch those leaky buckets? And obviously it doesn't work, as our drama team illustrated for us, by being selfish. It really doesn't work by trying really hard to get more love. It doesn't work. Well, what's that about? You know, I was thinking this through a few nights ago, and it came to me, and probably everybody knows this, but it's a revelation to me, so bear with me. And go, damn, duh, I get it. But I really believe that the only way to receive and absorb love and really patch that leaky bucket is to learn to love others. And I think that's what John is talking about. Why does John tell us to love others, to love especially our brothers and sisters? Look around you. These are the people that you are required to love. Now, when I thought about this, all my life growing up, it's like, you need to learn to love others, and you need to learn to love God. And here's what I thought. Now, I know nobody else would make this stupid rookie mistake, but it was, I need to have affectionate feelings toward these people that I don't know. I need to somehow work up these warm fuzzies, and I'm commanded to do it. People, how do you do that? I can't. Am I a failure here? But I can't work up warm fuzzies for people. I've never been able to do it, and I don't think that in the future I will be likely to work up warm fuzzies. I don't think John is commanding us to have an emotion, to have a feeling. I think what he's telling us is something entirely different. And so a few nights ago, I'm laying in bed, and it just comes to me. It's like, if you're trying to get love, it never works. It never works. The only thing you can do is learn about love by doing it, by loving. And that loving doesn't mean warm, fuzzy, emotional feelings for people. It means something else entirely. And here's what I have. As I was talking to Michael and Brittany, they were over at our house. It's Richard and Kathy's youngest son, Michael, and his wife, Brittany. They were over at our house a couple days before Christmas. And I was telling them about this as if this is some amazing revelation. And they're kind of like, yeah, we know this. But Brittany, in particular, said, be careful not to just tell people, here's another thing to do. Because some people resent that. Here's how you do it, and I want you to do it this way, and you just need to work at it harder. Would you do that? Work at loving harder. We all need more stuff on our list, right? Maybe not. I cannot work up love, and I really don't know how to do this. But I think it starts here. I think what John is telling us, when he's telling us to love one another, and I'm not just giving you another thing on your list. In fact, maybe I'm just hopefully encouraging you, because we do know how to do this a little bit. To look at other people as people that God has sent to your life to learn how to love and to show you love. So God put the people in front of you so that you can learn how to love them. Whoever it may be. It might be a difficult person at work. It might be a very difficult relative. How do you love that person? Well, when it says that God is love, I believe it means this, that God always has our best interests in mind. God always wants to bring us the maximum joy. I believe that. I think that's what it means by God is love. He cares so much about what's going on in your life, and he knows everything about it, and he wants to bring maximum joy to you. And sometimes that requires a difficult path, because God sees eternity. He may see that if you get the little bit of pleasure that you want right here and now, it's not going to bring maximum joy. It's going to bring that heartache and pain later on. And so what God, his perspective is, I want you to have maximum joy. Are you down with that? Are you okay with that, Doug?
Sure.
Doug's down with maximum joy. What a surprise. And I think that's how God operates. He looks at our lives from the scope of eternity and says, I want you to have maximum joy. And he knows and he has the wherewithal to do it. So if we're going to be like God and we're going to learn how to love, we need to look at people around us and say, how do I learn to love them? How do I learn to invest in their lives in such a way that I'm building them up, that I'm drawing them closer to God, that I'm helping them get to that point of maximum joy? It requires looking through the eyes of God. I don't understand why God loves us. I don't feel that lovable most of the time. I don't know. I get cranky. I get petty. It happens. I know you don't believe it, but it is true. But I want to understand and absorb God's love, and I can only do it by loving others. And God always wants and acts for our eternal benefit, our lasting joy. And I think the way that we do that is by getting to know each other, by actually listening and learning. I think it happens, I know I wrote this down. By starting by looking at people that God has placed in our lives as people that we need to love. Just start there. I need to learn how to love my brother, my sister, my coworker, my wife, my son. I need to learn how to do that. It's not about me trying to get love. It's about being here to love others. And by doing that, I understand God's perspective. I draw closer to God, and I begin to receive that love and absorb that love. Does that make sense to anybody? I hope it does. It kind of does to me. Start with your spouse, your siblings, your friends. Heck, people here at church. That's what John means by brother and sister, right? So let's learn how to love each other. Let's pray. Lord, we admit that we are leaky buckets. We admit that it's hard for us to comprehend love. It's hard for us to know how to show it, because we feel so empty sometimes. And Lord, I ask that we would begin to see how to be like you and to love others, so that we can understand love and we could absorb and retain your love. Teach us, Lord. In Jesus' name. We get to the end of the queue.
Yeah, there's only going to stop.